everyone. Welcome in to a Thursday edition.
You know what, Jerry? I'm not dating you anymore if you say that ever again.
Hello!
Do you remember that episode? He thought long and hard about whether or not he should say that or stay in the relationship. And he went with saying it.
He went with saying it.
And he broke up. Yeah, with the gal.
That was my Mrs. Doubtfire right there.
Oh, that was your Mrs. Doubtfire. Jerry Seinfeld
Although Seinfeld last night was playing as I tried to fall asleep. Uh-huh. And it was the episode where he was doing everything the opposite.
Ah,
and
yes.
I could, you know,
the
you're
bizarro world.
You're trying to go to sleep, but some of those lines in there are pretty funny.
Oh,
so I couldn't quite fall asleep. Which leads me to my next point. I'm a little cranky this Thursday afternoon.
Because you didn't sleep or because you're...
I think it's
travel.
I think it's a culmination of all of it. I didn't sleep well in Milwaukee, the Pfister. People say it's haunted. That's not why I didn't sleep well. And I think it's just kind of catching. I was already here once today earlier to do the round table. Back at it for another bite at the apple. How are you gentlemen doing today?
Doing very well. Scraby is actually sitting in a little different spot today.
He is far
too close to me.
He's definitely close to me right now.
I almost reach out and touch him from where I am right now. I'm not comfortable.
Yeah, he's not actually on the board today. Today, we get a treat, ladies and gentlemen. Scraby, after he gets these cameras up, of course, which is a whole thing every day that we come in here, he's going to be fully devoted till about 5 o'clock. Of being an actual host today. He's not going to have his moments where we are talking about something sports related and we go to him and he is completely blank because he hasn't been paying attention. He is going to be involved all day.
So you're saying it's a treat. I'm a little concerned, actually.
You don't think it's a treat, huh?
Yeah, well, it's better now that he moved over there.
Okay, yeah, he's right next to me now.
You're sitting way too close.
I can stare at you, Chris, in the corner.
You can only stare at me if I look back. So
okay.
Don't you worry. Nick DiNucci is going to run the board today, but still, if there are any technical errors, I will still blame Scraby for them, so keep that in mind.
I think that's going to make it even funnier, because he actually won't be actually in charge of the technical issues today.
Yeah, so the show should run smoothly today.
Oh, Scraby,
which I'm surprised.
Don't get Wally Pipped here today, buddy.
That's right. If Nick does a good job, we could...
I need to learn how to put my headphones in, but if you guys don't remember, back in the day, I used to sit here when Thomas was on the board. Remember?
Yeah, that's a long time ago.
That was before.
I feel like
COVID.
You guys were both back behind the desk or something.
We were, but he would phone screen for the first 2 hours, and then he would come
sit in
with us.
I believe the day that you delivered your famous weather report, you were sitting over there.
You're absolutely right. It's raining really hard right now.
Yeah.
Being cool here on the Intercom Empire.
You were there.
It all comes flooding back. The Padres return home after a great 4-2 road trip. They take 2 of 3 from the Doyers. They take 2 of 3 from the Brewer. Had a chance to sweep. Didn't go their way. It was a really well played baseball game yesterday. I mean, the pitching,
2 hours and 4 minutes.
The pitching
somebody was really excited by that.
Yeah, I mean, I like a quick game. Don't get me wrong. But I'm not as like, Hey, we played 2 hours and 4 minutes. Awesome. Like, I don't mind. You know, the game takes 250. It takes 330. You know, it gets above that, then you might hear me complain a little bit. But
as long as it's moving along.
Regular pace. Yeah, it's a good game.
It was a well-played game.
I got to tell you, I enjoy watching Mike King throw the baseball yesterday. It was just old school, get the ball down. Get some soft contact. Let your defense work. Next thing you know, you looked up and it was like the sixth, seventh inning, and he was rolling.
Yeah, he was ahead of every hitter. I mean, the old saying, "Strike one is the most important pitch in baseball." Never more true, I thought, than yesterday. He probably would have carried out what he set out to do, were it not for your broadcast partner. At least based on what I read on Twitter yesterday, it was all Bob Scanlon's fault.
Oh, how
he lost his no hitter.
How so?
I don't know. Didn't he mention it?
He did not mention it.
Oh, he didn't mention it.
He didn't mention it.
Oh, he went out of his way not to mention it. All right. I read the tweets incorrectly there. So it was the seventh inning, and the radio listening audience was not informed that he was working on it.
Because he was too nervous. Sidestepped it.
Okay.
If you were paying attention, we alluded to it, but right. We didn't actually say the words no hitter. Now, we talked about, you'll hear this in the round table later on. As a color analyst, I don't feel it's my a duty.
No.
I think I tend to defer to my play-by-play partner and how he wants to approach it. In this case, I could feel Scan kind of like straddling the fence on what he wanted to do.
He was hesitant because he was worried about what the Twitter response would be if he said that Michael King has a no-hitter and then he gave up a hit. But, you know, as you'll hear on the roundtable, it's so ridiculous that people honestly think that they should be able to blame a broadcaster for a pitcher having a no-hitter.
Chris, I would give it more credence if when it was flipped, like we said something the opposite way, and like our team benefited from it. If everybody was like, "Oh yes, that the broadcasters clearly did that," I would feel differently. But since it's only focused on the negative parts, that's
right. You can only screw something up as a broadcaster,
right?
You can never help something along.
Exactly.
Well, Bob did a very nice job of painting the picture without actually saying it. As Tony said, he would say Michael King is pitching great. He's through. He's in the seventh inning, only two base runners via walk.
He did say that.
So. That's a good way of doing it.
That was the one.
That's a good way of doing it.
I don't know. I think
Hats off to Scanlon and hats off to Michael King, who pitched an unbelievable game, probably the game of his life.
Yes, it still
doesn't get a win for it. That was the frustrating thing. And you know, the frustration to me, you know, boils down obviously to the top of the eighth inning when you get the leadoff triple and you're not able to score that run. And I'm sure the Padres felt that frustration. Kyle Higashioka and Xander did not come through. Fernando, I thought when he hit that dribbler, had a base hit. That guy, hell of a play. Guy hopped off the mound. I mean, really made a great play and a perfect throw. A lot of times they hurry that and throw that away. Goes down the line.
That ball takes off.
Yeah. So that was a great play by Uribe to save that from being an infield single. And then, you know, when you got a game like that, it comes down to really tiny little things. And, you know, maybe that two-strike pitch to Terang was a little higher up. It was on the outside part of the plate, but just a little more up than he wanted it. And Terang was able to, you know, just poke it over the shortstop, and then you know he's going to try to steal a base there. And I think, you know, that's where the new rules come into play, because Michael King threw over the first, before the first pitch. And I think after that, Terang knew, you know, he's probably not going to want to come over a second time. And I think that allowed him to really read it. And by the time he took off for second, it was a curveball, but had Higashioka caught it cleanly, I don't think he could have thrown him out. He had a running start. And then, you know, I mean, Tony, there's a lot of things I don't like. I mean, you guys know the list is lengthy. But here's one of them. People who second guess a manager after the decision was made and say, well, he shouldn't have done that. And in this case, bringing in Wandy Peralta to turn that batter around, and in a situation where Peralta, nobody had gotten a hit off him in 22 at-bats.
Especially righties.
Right. Righties were 0-22 against Peralta this season. So it was a perfectly right move to make by Mike Schilt. And the guy hits a 9-hopper, and the game, you know, goes to Milwaukee. And now people are like, the manager screwed it up. If you really believe he screwed it up, then tell me beforehand. Don't tell me after the base hit.
Right.
Because that was good managing.
Get your Twitter fingers off before
Don't tell me how to fan.
I'm telling you how to fan. Absolutely.
No, if you tell me I would not take Michael King out here, I would not bring in Wandy Peralta, and then he gives up the hit, then I'll give it to you. But don't tell me after he gives up the hit that he made the wrong move.
I had a question. I wasn't
That just means he questioned it too, is what it means.
Go ahead.
What do you got?
I was thinking because when I listened to Mike Schilt after the game, he had a great reason and everything like that, and he said that Michael King was going and he had it under control. But if there was ever a question as to giving him a short leash, as Mike Schilt did say, why not put Wandy Peralta in there to start the inning? Why tempt fate by putting Michael King out there. He already gave up the hit, so the no-hitter was off the table, right?
Because he'd only given up one hit, and they'd hardly touched him all day long. There was absolutely no reason to take him out of that game.
Zero.
And there was a reason to bring in Peralta, the reason being to switch the hitter around to bat right-handed in a situation where Wandy Peralta was 22 for 22. The inning was managed perfectly, but that doesn't always mean it's going to work out.
Remember I said I wasn't questioning.
Yeah, you were questioning.
You were questioning.
I did the show with you yesterday. I don't remember what questions you were asking.
I did not say once that I thought it was a bad move. I just thought, hey, why didn't they bring him in to start the inning if they were had him on a short leash?
Yeah, well, one thing people are questioning over and over again, and I'm here to put a put your mind at ease. You guys don't know this, but it just popped in on my phone. The Padres have released Xander Bogaerts.
It's April Fool's. April 18th.
They've activated Donovan Solano, and he's going to be your new everyday second baseman.
Wait, do you hear that?
So you won't
it's
have
all soft.
That's
boom.
The city is celebrating the release.
Oh, probably
of
so.
Bogaerts.
Yeah, I mean,
there it is.
You know,
boom,
you people
done.
Out there that are giving up on Xander Bogaerts, do so at your own peril. I that's all I can say. We went through the stats yesterday, Scrabe. This guy hits 290, 300 every year of his career. You know, he had a 2020 season last year. Actually, it was 19 homers, 19 steals, hit 285. I'm going to go, Tony, with 10 years of data, over 2.5 weeks of data. And the people, you know, that are giving up on the guy because he's hitting 211, actually now he's down to 200. Oh, my goodness. You guys are fans. I guess that's what fans is, you know, it's short for fanatic. You're crazy to be giving up on this guy so quickly and blaming the entire season on him. They're 11-10. Things are going well. They're scoring a ton of runs. Tony, you brought this up on the roundtable today. If you change Xander Bogaerts in the batting order, you therefore then would have to change other people in the batting order. And the order that Mike Shildt has been using this year, other than yesterday, first time they've been shut out, has been scoring as many runs as any team in baseball. I'm not going to change one guy at the risk of messing up the other eight guys. It's crazy to me that people are so angry with him right now.
What is it? You guys see the forest through the trees? Or the trees through the forest? Which one is it?
Forest through the trees.
Forest through the trees. This would have gone so much better had I just remembered it off the top of my dome.
Right.
I just think so many people get caught up in the individual. I don't even really want to address the Xander Bogaerts thing because I think it's silly.
Yeah.
So many people look at the lineup as individuals as opposed to a collective nine.
Right.
And the point I made, and you'll hear it in the 5 o'clock hour, is that when you move Xander for whoever, whether it's Toddy, whether it's Jackson, and I named those two because those two are having great starts to their season in the spots that they're hitting.
Yeah.
You risk moving them out of that comfort zone that they are clearly establishing right now.
That's right.
You know, you got a taste of what it looks like with Jackson at the top of the lineup the day Bogey got off. I think he was 1-for-4 that day, still had a knock, swung the bat well. There still are things coming, you know, that he hasn't even, you know, faced yet. He's starting to get a dose of it now. They started bringing in them lefties in for him, and we saw the adjustment that he's going to have to make. But I just think it's very, very short-sighted to be trying to think about moving a guy who, as Chris said, has every year pretty much been, he's probably as consistent. Him and Manny, when you look at the back of their baseball cards, are probably the two most consistent players in the big leagues. You know what you're getting every year. Even let's go back to last year. Bogey got off like gangbusters like he did this year. And then all of a sudden, he had that wrist issue and just kind of slowly fell all the way down. It took to about, what, June, July before he got going. And when it was all said and done, 285, 19, 58 RBIs, I think. And that's because he was hitting at the top of the lineup as well. So, listen, what I do know is I trust Mike Shildt. And if Mike Shildt is pinning these guys in the lineup, at least the first six guys, the same way every night, There's a reason for it. And I think we've seen the reason in the way they've been able to score runs, whether it's manufacturing, whether it's, you know, situational baseball, whether it's the homer. They are scoring runs at a higher rate now than they did last year, and I would say probably the year before.
Yeah, I wouldn't risk moving anything around right now, and I'm not going to change a guy that has 9 years, nine straight years of Major League Baseball batting 280 or higher because he hits 200 for 2 weeks. That's crazy. And Scraby did some research, and I don't want to take away stuff from the Scraby Chronicles later today, but
yeah, we're jacking the Chronicles for
We're jacking the Chronicles for
this.
Your dad,
one's fine because it kind of revolves around you. So
well, it's such a good example. Your dad hit something like 190 the first month and a half of 1988, and when the season was over, he had once again won a batting title. It's ludicrous to look back and think, boy, they should have sat Tony Gwynn down. He wasn't hitting at all.
Move him to the bench.
Move him or move him down to the eighth spot. He can't hit.
You know
just
what I love
relax
about
out there. Plus, the season's going along well. If they were 5-16, believe me, they'd be making some changes and moving stuff around, but they're not.
You know what I love about our listeners is that I feel like when they come into the chat, if you want to watch us, you can go to YouTube, just search 97.3 The Fan.
Hi, guys.
They feel like this is a safe place to be positive about the team, and no one's going to attack them.
This is definitely a positive,
yes,
safe place.
Because Semstix is saying George Springer, is still batting leadoff. He's having a slow start. Tap says, fan's going to fan. It's in fashion to sound sad to make yourself feel smart.
It is in fashion. You know who else is struggling? Well, he was. I think he had a good day yesterday. It was Ronald Acuna. He was struggling to begin the season.
In the Chronicles, now I'm calling it the Chronicles.
That's what you should have been calling it the whole time.
I'm going to give you four players that are being paid a lot of money in baseball coming into today that are hitting around Xander Bogaerts.
You know, I think that is it right there. It's that notion that just, I think, it confuses people. And I think the assumption is if you're making a lot of money, that you can't have any portion of your season that is not considered equal value to what you're making. And that's just, it's just not realistic. It's just not realistic. Is that me?
Yeah, I didn't secure it well. It's okay. We're going to break. I'll fix it.
All right. Sorry, guys.
Chris just gives me this look. You can just put it on the,
all right,
on the table for now.
Let's get to break. More Gwynn and Chris. We're rolling today. I promise I'm going to be in a better mood in about another segment or two. More Gwynn and Chris on the way.
All right, welcome back to Gwynn and Chris here. Happy Thursday to you, 224. It's time. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby, all together in our Odyssey Palace studios here in San Diego, California, working our way towards 5 o'clock. And this week's version of the Padres commercial-free one-hour roundtable. You Padre fans, if you missed it this morning, don't miss it again. It's coming up this afternoon between 5 and 6 for your ride home. A commercial-free hour of nothing but Padres talk featuring myself, Tony, and also Ben and Woods, Annie and Elston. We will cover every topic you can think of having to do with Padres baseball. As far as the Padres are concerned, off today, getting set to barely unpack their bags. A three-game homestand is all against the all three, of course, against the Toronto Blue Jays. It starts tomorrow night, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then it'll be back out on the road for a four-game series in Denver against the Rockies next week. Padres don't have another off day for 2 weeks after today. So enjoy your rest, boys.
Was it 13 straight?
I think 13 straight days, yeah. Padres are 11-10, just a game behind the Dodgers, who are 12-9. And Padres, you know, I think all in all, you know, pretty good start to this season. I'm trying to go back and think. 3.5 weeks ago, before this all got going, and I think, you know, people were pretty concerned. I know I was concerned about, you know, how's Jackson Merrill going to handle every day in center field? How's Jerickson Profar going to handle hitting in the middle of the order every day in left field? And those two answers have been, or those two questions have been answered with a big affirmative so far. You know, look, Cronenworth, before he got sidelined for a couple of days, off to a really good start this year. I think a lot of the questions we had, you know, so far, so good. And, you know, I think overall you got to be pretty happy with how the Padres are faring so far.
What were the question marks? I was reading the
I just
text
said, you know, Jackson Merrill, you had to wait and, you know, see how he's going to settle in.
Okay.
And so far, so good. Profar has been way better than anybody could have thought. And Cronenworth, I think, you know, bouncing back, at least to this point, you know, after an off season. You know, I don't think anybody had any questions about the starting pitching. Bullpen took a little while, but it's really come around here. I mean, that might be the best news of all of the entire six-game road trip,
Tony. I think that's the only change.
Is that they, you know, they went 4-2, but the bullpen in those four wins did not give up a run.
Lights out.
I mean, it was terrific. And, you know, look, I mean, if you're going as deep as Michael King being your number four starter, you know, I don't know any, you know, a lot of teams in baseball that have a guy that can throw lights out like that in the number four spot in the rotation on a consistent basis. Dylan Cease has been, right? I mean, he's at 1.99, striking out, you know, everybody. You know, Musgrove and Darvish. Again, you want to worry about Musgrove and you want to worry about Bogarts? Go ahead. Worry about them. Spend your time. But you're wasting your time. These are proven guys, they've been doing it for years and years. There's no reason to believe that they won't do it again.
And I think only you and I care about that, apparently.
Well, you know, we're speaking to a lot of people who don't want to hear us say it. They want to hear us say, you know, that it's time to demote Bogarts and
get him out of the leadoff spot.
And get him out of the leadoff spot. Forget that. Get him out of the lineup entirely and take away his salary. He doesn't get to get paid until he starts hitting doubles and triples again. Sorry.
That's
what people are really mad about, like, that he's got such a good salary.
Yeah.
And as you pointed out today, why does everybody care? It's not coming out of your paycheck. Leave it alone.
Because they could be spending it elsewhere on other players.
Like where? We're good. That's
leave it to Mr. Fly in the Ointment over there.
I don't even really know what that means. But,
where could they have spent that?
Let me get a hitter's thoughts on 2-0 yesterday. So, oh man, Tony just put his head on the microphone. I think he's tired of this question already. But I just want to get into the head of a hitter. 2-0. You need to drive.
Can you explain to everybody what you're referring to? He remembers, I remember, but maybe
Xander
not everybody listening
remembers.
That's
Xander, okay.
Of course
Bogarts
it's a Xander
was at
thing.
The plate, and was it?
It was the eighth inning. Batten was on third. There was
I did a good job of this. There
yes,
was
you
one
did.
Out.
That's what I'm trying to help you.
Xander starts out the at bat 2-0, and then he gets one right down the middle, and he doesn't swing. He looks at it. And
what inning was that?
It was in the eighth inning.
Eighth inning.
So he's asking why
Xander.
Not? Why on that 2-0 pitch isn't he locked and loaded
and
ready to drive in that run from third base with less than two outs? Why would he take that pitch is what Scraby is asking.
Okay. Couple things. The first, 2-0 is not the same 2-0 that it used to be. Meaning, 2-0 used to be
somebody who's going to groove a fastball.
High percentage.
For sure.
You're getting a fastball.
Right. Not so much anymore.
Now, I would say over the last 5 years, that is, you can, it's almost 50-50.
Interesting.
2-0. You could get a breaking ball, and that's ultimately not what you're looking
for.
So
if you sell out for fastball, right, is what you're saying, and then you get curveball, and you hit a meek little tapper back to the mound, you just blew your chance to drive in the run because of that.
Right. Because who's to say that after, let's say you weren't hunting that pitch, you took it, it's 2-1. Who's to say he doesn't go 3-1 after that and put you in probably an even better spot to hit it? But I think the real question right now, or the real answer to that question as it pertains to Bogey, is he's not feeling like his normal self. And so, you know, no matter how good you are, there's this little voice that creeps in your head, 2-0, when you know you're not swinging the bat well and you haven't felt great at the plate, you're like, I don't know if I want to make the out on this one right
here.
You
also have like half a millisecond to make that decision.
You have that every time, but I'm putting that aside for the time being, just to try to answer your question. So maybe that's why he took the 2-0 pitch. I don't know.
Well, if you know he's going bad, then you've got to pinch hit for him there. It's all on that show.
He's got a gun. I never said that. Because I was watching
I'm beating you to it.
I was watching the Tigers and the Rangers earlier today, and it was in the eighth inning, and LeClerc was on the mound for the Rangers, and I guess he throws heat. I was just listening to the announcers. But Javi Baez, the announcers were like, this guy isn't throwing fastballs. He's not going to throw a fastball. Javi Baez is looking for the slider. But Javi Baez was able to, you know, foul off a 98-mile-an-hour fastball.
First of all, have you seen Javi Baez swing?
I have.
Have you seen him swing at the pitch that's not even?
Yes.
Okay, so he's an outlier.
All right. Well, I wasn't saying that Xander Bogaerts and Javi Baez are the same player. I was just saying, like, I just want to see a swing. That's all. But you explained it to me, and I take that.
You just wanted to see a swing, too. I'm actually pulling this at bat up. I'm going back, and I'm going
to
find
Tony
it.
Is Tony about to just bury me in facts?
I don't think he's going to, because it really was a hittable pitch.
I want to see the at bat, because I haven't seen it.
I think if Xander Bogaerts is going good, he probably crushes that ball. But, you know, that's what happens during the course of every season. Guys, see the ball better. They just come up there with a confidence. You know, right now, Jackson Merrill probably fits into that category. But I guarantee everybody who's given up on Xander Bogaerts that there's going to be months and months this year where he's crushing that pitch and Jackson Merrill is taking it. It goes that way.
I'll take it even a step further. Prior to this road trip, and I would say the two games before we left, Manny's been in that spot.
Yes, he has.
And, you know, may have taken, may have swung. But when you're not swinging, when you're not in the best position to hit, you're going to make out. And whether it's 2-0, 0-2, 3-1, 3-0, 1-2, you're going to, when you're not right, baseball becomes even harder. And so, I don't know. I'm still waiting for my computer to load up to two strikes.
I'm watching it, too. It's very frustrating that it's not coming up.
Well, what you're going to see is a 2-0 pitch that was, you know, very hittable. And that's why it's a fair question, because I'm sure people saw that and said, ugh. You know, but you're explaining it perfectly. It's just that 1 second of doubt that'll creep in. And by that time, the ball's in the catcher's glove. And now you're getting ready for the next one. And yeah, Bogaerts is, I'm not saying to anybody he's not struggling right now. I'm agreeing with that. What I'm disagreeing with is everybody being so quick to be like, let's move on from him. I mean, that's absurd.
I don't actually know if that's a real thought or if it's just like a mob mentality thought.
It's a frustration thought.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I think it's I hope it's frustration.
I mean, I'm sure the first time it was put out there was frustration, but when it starts to get like the pollen, there's definitely a mob mentality as it
yes,
pertains
and you know who's in that mob? Our boss, Adam Kluge, who interrupted basically the
round table
today to text Ben Higgins and say, make sure you ask about Xander Bogaerts' struggles.
Mob mentality,
Adam Kluge.
I will give Adam the credit as a producer. People are tuning in to hear you guys talk about Xander Bogaerts' struggles.
And Ben Higgins was planning to talk about it because Ben Higgins
now
is a professional moderator. One more thing, Adam Kluge. My Bulls crushed your Hawks last night.
Oh,
he said that to me yesterday.
He
was like, the Hawks have no shot.
So. He was right. All right, we'll take a break, come back. What's up next, producer?
Kurt Kenny.
Oh, the Aztecs have a big football weekend coming up, do they not?
Yeah, they do. Spring showcase.
We haven't checked in on that squad in a while, so we'll do that, see what's new on the Mesa as we continue rolling along here on Gwen and Chris.
2:40 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Sello, Matt Scraby, Nick DiNucci on the ones and twos.
Is he?
Well, he's learning. Scraby's popping his mouth right now to try to bring down Nick, but I'm not going to let it happen.
Before we get to Kirk, I want to thank Dave on the email here.
Dave emailed you?
Dave, the emailer.
Hey, Chris, what's going on?
No, not that Dave. Dave.
Sorry.
Dave said, because we said that why does it bother you that Xander Bogaerts makes so much money and he's struggling right now. And we said, you know, you don't have to pay his salary. And of course, we got the comment from Dave So the high prices we pay at Petco for everything from tickets to food to alcohol is money that doesn't get paid in some part to the ball players. Sure feels like the money's coming out of my wallet and thus out of my paycheck.
Well, Dave, whose choice is that to hand over that hard-earned money to go watch some games? I don't
Xander Bogaerts not making you do that, Dave.
I don't think he's making you do that. And here's the other thing, regardless of even if that is the case, that, you know, you have made the decision to go watch, that doesn't exempt players from having a struggle. It just doesn't. I'm sorry. Like, the idea that, oh, I'm going to buy these season tickets for the 2024 season.
And I expect for my money that we're paying Manny Machado, him to homer when I'm there.
All day long. I don't want no struggles. I'm spending too much money on these tickets. I can't see it.
I don't have time for a strikeout.
It's not real.
Now, as a man of somewhat of the people.
No, you are.
I do understand where.
Listen to you.
You know what? We'll do this later. Kirk Kenny's on the phone. We'll do this later.
Yeah, we got to get Kirk on the phone. Joining us on Gwen and Chris, Kirk Kenny, San Diego Union Tribune. He covers, you know, most of our Aztec stuff we talk about, basketball, football, baseball. But today we're talking about football. Exciting times here on the Mesa. Kirk, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. You guys didn't want to keep going there? I was entertained.
Well, we didn't want to keep you on hold too long, man. Spring game.
I appreciate that.
No, no problem. Spring game coming up here shortly. A lot of excitement surrounding this football team. New coach. Coach Lewis seems to really have the people who follow this Aztec program super excited. I mean, you're getting a chance. You've been covering the Aztecs for quite some time. From a personal standpoint, how are you feeling with the new staff, covering this new staff, this new kind of pathway that the Aztecs are on?
I've been interested with the energy that Sean Lewis has brought in, the new offense that he's going to bring. We'll see how that works out, you know, and we'll get to see a first glimpse Saturday. But, you know, I think they've needed some energy for a while, and he's bringing that. A lot of things I've heard from fans over the last couple of years is they just want to see a more exciting offense, and that's what he proposes. If I could do one aside, if Dave wants to go to the game, it's free, so he might like that.
You won't be paying the kid's salaries, Dave, the emailer. Thank you, Kirk. Yes, the Aztecs have, they're calling it the Aztec Fast Showcase. It's at 1 o'clock at Snapdragon Stadium this Saturday. Tickets are indeed free, but they must be claimed in advance. So go online to goaztecs.com. Make sure you get yourself a ticket before you head down there. You know, we had Coach Lewis on, but that's the only, you know, I've talked to him that one time, Kirk, and I know you've spent a little more time with him since he's come in. And is he everything that he seems to be? I mean, just based on your visits with him, I mean, his energy is you know, tremendous, and it seems to kind of be bringing everybody in. You know, I haven't talked to one person around San Diego State who isn't just really excited by what he's selling.
On top of practices this spring, I've seen him at probably a dozen different events, and I think it's very genuine. He's even said if he wants to coach young men, and he'd rather do it in a positive, uplifting way, as opposed to some coaches that I think, you know, want to kick somebody in the behind more so than give them praise at times to try and motivate. And I found it to be very genuine. I think it's a breath of fresh air for the program.
It really seems like that. Kirk Kenny joins the San Diego Union Tribune. I know he's met with some of the local high school coaches. And that's the thing, is it's not just down in this area near San Diego State. I'm hearing this up north where I'm at. I mean, a lot of he seems to be plugging himself in to a lot of the high schools out here, which leads me to believe that, you know, he's going to recruit this area as well as you possibly can. Kirk, what do you expect us to see during this spring showcase? Is it just going to be really highlighting this more exciting offense? What else can we expect?
Well, I think the biggest thing is we'll get to actually see guys out on the field. Sean Lewis, in a press conference earlier this week, he said about 80% of the offense has been installed, but he admitted outright, it's going to be vanilla. It's going to be toned down because, you know, he doesn't. And he said, he said he's the paranoid ball coach. He doesn't want to give things away before he has to. But I think, you know, you'll still be able to see guys throw the ball and catch the ball and run the ball and knock guys down. So, you know, you'll get a glimpse. There's a lot of transfers to get a glimpse of. So there's going to be a lot of things to watch. It won't be maybe, you know, the true offense. And especially with what they're trying to do, the up-tempo stuff they're trying to do, I think it's going to take a while into the summer and toward the start of the season before they really have that down.
Kirk Haney is with us from the San Diego Union-Tribune. We're talking a little Aztec football here, and the spring showcase is coming up this Saturday at Snapdragon Stadium for your Aztec football fans and others. Kirk, I think the thought in most people's minds is that last year's team is really, really bad and really not fun to watch. And, you know, you go back and, you know, the record, well, I think it was, 4-8? And, you know, but they had some close games here and there that didn't go their way, et cetera. I guess my question is, can Sean Lewis in 1 year, should we expect that he'll be able to get them right back to championship contention? Or was there a sense that, you know, they fell off so much last year that, we got to be fair and give him a little more time?
I think championship contention might be a bit of a stretch. I think the bar might be that having a winning record and qualifying for a bowl game again would be the first step, and then thereafter seeing if they can get on a championship level.
Kirk, you mentioned some of the transfers. We know about, I think everybody knows about the quarterback that has come in. Are there any other big name transfers that we should be on the lookout for this spring game?
I think the receiving corps, two or three of the guys who've shown the best in the spring are transfers. One notable from the Mountain West, Colorado State, Lewis Brown IV. He had, I think, about 30 receptions or so for the Rams, and he's been a guy that's been getting mentioned. Another one, Jashawn Polk, is a transfer who I'm hearing a lot about. So I'm eager to see both of those guys on Saturday.
Where's Polk come from? Do you know?
I'm blanking offhand. I knew you were going to ask that.
It happens to me all the time, Kirk. Hang with him, babe. Hang with him. Yeah, we're getting to be that age. It does happen. That's okay.
What's his name?
But if you ask something for a second, I could probably find it in a note.
I want to ask you how you're looking around. We'll be good. I want to
go back to bickering.
Yeah. Well, we could certainly do that. Kirk Kenny is with us. Kirk, I'm excited. First of all, Ryan Lindley does return as an offensive analyst. He was the offensive coordinator last year. I'm glad that Ryan Lindley is still a part of this thing. I think he's got a great future. And some of these other names, Darian Hagan comes in as a coach. This guy was a quarterback of a national championship team at Colorado. Going back in the day a little bit.
Yeah, I spoke to him today and had a great conversation. I'm really excited to get to know him more and have him coaching the running back.
Yeah, but the guy I'm really very excited about is Mike Schmidt. Because I was, walking the sidelines.
Mike Schmidt, the third baseman?
No. Actually, Mike Schmidt, the run game coordinator.
Oh, okay.
And former offensive lineman at SDSU who did a lot of offensive line coaching under Rocky Long, and I got to know Mike quite a bit on the sidelines when I was doing reporting during the games. And that's when their run game was powerhouse, right? With Pumphrey and with, Rashad Penny and Ronnie Hillman before that. So I'm glad that he's come back and just talk about, the staff that Sean Lewis has put together. People are pretty excited about it.
Yeah, I think he's put together a very good staff. And like you said, Mike Schmidt had a lot of success here the first time around. Went to Syracuse and Mississippi State, and now he's back. And so I think he's a little more worldly as well. And they've had a lot of shakeup on the offensive line. But I think with him back, they have the best chance they could to succeed on the offensive line. Oh, also this just in, Jashawn Polk went to Kent State and West Virginia before coming here.
This just in. Kirk, go over the quarterback situation real quick one more time, kind of where it stands right now. I mean, that's the position everybody always wants to talk about with the football team. And I think Jalen Maiden took a lot of unfair blame last year. I really do. I think this young man played his heart out and, you know, gave him everything he had. But, you know, fans want, you know, 8-4, not 4-8. So what's a quarterback, where does it stand right about now?
So there's a transfer, A.J. Duffy, from Florida State, and then the other one is a new newcomer, freshman from Indiana, and his name is Danny O'Neill. Those are the two guys who've been, I think, getting the top two reps. Two other kids are returners, sophomore Kyle Crum and Javance Johnson. He's a redshirt freshman. You know, none of those four guys have really gotten very many snaps in real live games. They've gotten a little bit here and there, mainly in mop-up kind of things. Duffy was a four-star guy, I believe, out of Southern California. And so, you know, he's looked upon highly, and we'll see what they can do. And that's where I think Saturday will be the first test where we get to see, you know, what do they have on the ball? What's their accuracy like? And then how do they perform in this tempo style of offense? So, but at this point, I would say the two inside guys are Duffy, the transfer, and O'Neill, the incoming freshman.
And he's the kid that had been at Colorado or committed to Colorado.
Committed to Colorado,
right, and came over here. Yeah, all right.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like the Aztecs are certainly on the up and up. We're all looking forward to this spring game. Kirk, we'll be talking more often here as we get a little closer to football season and as we get into the summer. Certainly appreciate your time, brother.
All right, and I'll listen to you guys get back at it.
Fair enough. Kirk Kinney.
Thanks, Kirk.
San Diego Union Tribune. When is the spring game? I should have asked him that, huh?
The actual spring game? I know that they have their... What is it called? I called it the wrong thing earlier. It's not the spring showcase. What is it, Chris?
It used to be like the red and black game or something like that.
Well, I was reading the press release here, and now, of course, I've navigated away from that page, so I don't have it in front of me. But I think this is all part of what's happening this weekend.
Okay, so it's this weekend.
Yeah. Go on out Saturday. See what they got.
It's free, so you don't have to worry about the execution part on the field. You won't, money won't be going to any of that part. So
it says,
take a look
here that boy, I know it said it here. Come on.
I'm not quite at that
could
age
have asked
yet.
Kirk, so. Too.
We could have asked Kirk.
Talk amongst yourselves as Kirk
oh,
said.
Okay, all right.
What were we talking about before?
Well, the money and
yes.
everything.
Yeah, go ahead.
I do understand people who think, you know, I'm paying for their salaries because
fine.
Somehow
let's concede that
the
point.
Money okay. And that's why I feel like people are a little bit more angry when a player who makes a lot of money doesn't perform, because it feels like that money is not going towards good, and the ticket prices are rising at the same time. So it's like, we're not getting a better product.
Let's keep it a buck here. I mean, let's keep it
like $100?
No, let's keep it $100.
Oh,
right?
$100.
If the ticket prices haven't been raised, do you think we would still be getting the same complaint about Xander Bogaerts not?
Oh, yes, oh, okay. Yes, absolutely. So, I was specifically talking about the person who said, yes, it is coming out of my salary.
But okay, fine. I'll concede that point. It's coming out of your salary.
Actually, someone on the chat makes a really great point.
Give it to us.
We live in San Diego. Everything is expensive.
Touche. I just, you know, the idea that I'm paying this amount of money, so my expectation with a human being,
he said he never makes an out.
That he's going to not struggle is just, it's silly.
It's kind of like, to me,
when
like
you go out, you spend your money on a car, right?
I was going to say movie. Like, if I go to a movie, I pay my money for the movie.
Okay.
I didn't like the movie. I hated the movie. It was a terrible movie. I'm not asking for my money back. I'm not complaining about it. I'm just moving on with my life.
And guess what? Jack Nicholson still gets his 35 mil.
<That's a good
laughs>
no
matter what.
It's a good point.
You know, at least with you buy a car and it turns out to be a lemon, you can go get a new car because, you know, there's nothing in there, the contract that says, hey, if you somehow don't reach your level of performance, we have to then, you know, refund
our back.
Yeah. So it's a exercise that
we'll always practice.
Apparently
the spring game, according to J-Mac, April 20th at 1 p.m.
Saturday.
Aztecs, yes. 1 p.m. Saturday.
That's what we're talking about.
I know, I think that's what
But they're
he was
calling
after.
It the Aztec Fast Showcase.
There you go.
That's the word I was looking for.
Saturday, Aztec Fast Showcase.
At 1 p.m., and it's all part of San Diego State's Red and Black Weekend.
We are indeed through our number one daily gambit on the other side. More Gwen and Chris. On the clock, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Sello, Matt Scraby, Nick DiNucci on the ones and twos.
Is he?
Well, he's learning. He's learning. Scraby's popping his mouth right now to try to bring down Nick, but I'm not going to let it happen.
Before we get to Kirk, I want to thank Dave on the email here.
Dave emailed you?
Dave, the emailer.
Hey, Chris, what's going on?
No,
not that Dave.
Dave. Sorry.
Dave said, because we said that why does it bother you that Xander Bogaerts makes so much money and he's struggling right now. And we said, you know, you don't have to pay his salary. And, of course, we got the comment from Dave. So the high prices we pay at Petco for everything from tickets to food to alcohol is money that doesn't get paid in some part to the ball players. Sure feels like the money's coming out of my wallet and thus out of my paycheck.
Well, Dave, whose choice is that to hand over that hard-earned money to go watch some games? I don't.
Xander Bogaerts not making you do that, Dave.
I don't think he's making you do that. And here's the other thing, regardless of even if that is the case, that, you know, you have made the decision to go watch, that doesn't exempt players from having a struggle. It just doesn't. I'm sorry. Like, yeah. the idea that, oh, I'm going to buy these season tickets for the 2024 season.
And I expect for my money that we're paying Manny Machado, him to homer when I'm there.
All day long. I don't want no struggles. I'm spending too much money on these tickets. I can't see it.
I don't have time for a strikeout.
It's not real.
Now, as a man of somewhat of the people.
No, you are.
I do understand where.
Listen to you.
You know what? We'll do this later. Kirk Kenny's on the phone. We'll do this later.
Yeah, we got to get Kirk on the phone. Joining us on Gwen and Chris, Kirk Kenny, San Diego Union Tribune. He covers, you know, most of our Aztec stuff we talk about, basketball, football, baseball. But today we're talking about football. Exciting times here on the Mesa, Kirk. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. You guys didn't want to keep going there? I was entertained.
Well, we didn't want to keep you on hold too long, man. Spring game.
I appreciate that.
No, no problem. Spring game coming up here shortly. A lot of excitement surrounding this football team. New coach. Coach Lewis seems to really have the people who follow this Aztec program super excited. I mean, you're getting a chance. You've been covering the Aztecs for quite some time. From a personal standpoint, how are you feeling with the new staff, covering this new staff, this new kind of pathway that the Aztecs are on?
I've been interested with the energy that Sean Lewis has brought in, the new offense that he's going to bring. We'll see how that works out, you know, and we'll get to see a first glimpse Saturday. But, you know, I think they've needed some energy for a while, and he's bringing that. A lot of things I've heard from fans over the last couple of years is they just want to see a more exciting offense, and that's what he proposes. If I could do one aside, if Dave wants to go to the game, it's free, so he might like that.
You won't be paying the kid's salaries, Dave, the emailer. Thank you, Kirk. Yes, the Aztecs have, they're calling it the Aztec Fast Showcase. It's at 1 o'clock at Snapdragon Stadium this Saturday. Tickets are indeed free, but they must be claimed in advance. So go online to goaztecs.com. Make sure you get yourself a ticket before you head down there. You know, we had Coach Lewis on, but that's the only, you know, I've talked to him that one time, Kirk, and I know you've spent a little more time with him since he's come in. And is he everything that he seems to be? I mean, just based on your visits with him, I mean, his energy is you know, tremendous, and it seems to kind of be bringing everybody in. You know, I haven't talked to one person around San Diego State who isn't just really excited by what he's selling.
On top of practices this spring, I've seen him at probably a dozen different events, and I think it's very genuine. He's even said if he wants to coach young men, and he'd rather do it in a positive, uplifting way, as opposed to some coaches that I think, want to kick somebody in the behind more so than give them praise at times to try and motivate. And I found it to be very genuine. I think it's a breath of fresh air for the program.
It really seems like that. Kirk Kenny joins the San Diego Union Tribune. I know he's met with some of the local high school coaches. And that's the thing, is it's not just down in this area near San Diego State. I'm hearing this up north where I'm at. I mean, a lot of he seems to be plugging himself in to a lot of the high schools out here, which leads me to believe that, he's going to recruit this area as well as you possibly can. Kirk, what do you expect us to see during this spring showcase? Is it just going to be really highlighting this more exciting offense? What else can we expect?
Well, I think the biggest thing is we'll get to see guys out on the field. Sean Lewis, in a press conference earlier this week, he said about 80% of the offense has been installed, but he admitted outright it's going to be vanilla. It's going to be toned down because, he doesn't. And he said, he said he's the paranoid ball coach. He doesn't want to give things away before he has to. But I think, you'll still be able to see guys throw the ball and catch the ball and run the ball and knock guys down. So, you'll get a glimpse. There's a lot of transfers to get a glimpse of. So there's going to be a lot of things to watch. It won't be the true offense. And especially with what they're trying to do, the up-tempo stuff they're trying to do, I think it's going to take a while into the summer and toward the start of the season before they really have that down.
Kirk Kenny is with us from the San Diego Union Tribune, talking a little Aztec football here, and the spring showcase is coming up this Saturday at Snapdragon Stadium for you Aztec football fans and others. Kirk, I think the thought in most people's minds is that last year's team is really, really bad and really not fun to watch. And, you go back and, the record, well, I think it was, 4-8? And, but they had some close games here and there that didn't go their way, et cetera. I guess my question is, can Sean Lewis in 1 year, should we expect that he'll be able to get them right back to championship contention? Or was there a sense that, they fell off so much last year that, we got to be fair and give him a little more time?
I think championship contention might be a bit of a stretch. I think the bar might be that having a winning record and qualifying for a bowl game again would be the first step, and then thereafter seeing if they can get on a championship level.
Kirk, you mentioned some of the transfers. We know about, I think everybody knows about the quarterback that has come in. Are there any other big name transfers that we should be on the lookout for this spring game?
I think the receiving corps, two or three of the guys who've shown the best in the spring are transfers. One notable from the Mountain West, Colorado State, Lewis Brown IV. He had, I think, about 30 receptions or so for the Rams, and he's been a guy that's been getting mentioned. Another one, Jashawn Polk, is a transfer who I'm hearing a lot about. So I'm eager to see both of those guys on Saturday.
Where's Polk come from? Do you know?
I'm blanking offhand. I knew you were going to ask that.
It happens to me all the time, Kirk. Hang with him, babe. Hang with him. Yeah, we're getting to be that age. It does happen. That's okay.
What's his name?
But if you ask something for a second, I could probably find it in a note.
I want to ask you while you're looking around. We'll be good. I want to
go back to bickering.
Yeah. Well, we could certainly do that. Kirk Kenny's with us. Kirk, I'm excited. First of all, Ryan Lindley does return as an offensive analyst. He was the offensive coordinator last year. I'm glad that Ryan Lindley is still a part of this thing. I think he's got a great future. And some of these other names, Darian Hagan comes in as a coach. This guy was a quarterback of a national championship team at Colorado. Going back in the day a little bit.
Yeah, I spoke to him and had a great conversation. I'm really excited to get to know him more and have him coaching the running back.
Yeah, but the guy I'm really very excited about is Mike Schmidt. Because I was, walking the sidelines.
Mike Schmidt, the third baseman?
No. Actually, Mike Schmidt, the run game coordinator.
Oh, okay.
And former offensive lineman at SDSU who did a lot of offensive line coaching under Rocky Long, and I got to know Mike quite a bit on the sidelines when I was doing reporting during the games. And I just, I mean, that's when their run game was powerhouse, right? With Pumphrey and with, you know, Rashad Penny and Ronnie Hillman before that. So I'm glad that he's come back. And just talk about, you know, the staff that Sean Lewis has put together. People are pretty excited about it.
Yeah, I think he's put together a very good staff. And like you said, Mike Schmidt had a lot of success here the first time around. Went to Syracuse and Mississippi State, and now he's back. And so I think he's a little more worldly as well. And they've had a lot of shakeup on the offensive line, but I think with him back, they have the best chance they could to succeed on the offensive line. Oh, also this just in, Jashaun Polk went to Kent State and West Virginia before coming here.
This just in. Kirk, go over the quarterback situation real quick one more time, kind of where it stands right now. I mean, that's the position everybody always wants to talk about with the football team. And I think Jalen Maiden took a lot of unfair blame last year. I really do. I think this young man played his heart out and, you know, gave him everything he had. But, you know, fans want, you know, 8-4, not 4-8. So what's a quarterback? Where does it stand right about now?
So there's a transfer, A.J. Duffy, from Florida State. And then the other one is a new newcomer, freshman from Indiana. And his name is Danny O'Neill. Those are the two guys who've been, I think, getting the top two reps. Two other kids are returners, sophomore Kyle Crum and Javance Johnson. He's a redshirt freshman. You know, none of those four guys have really gotten very many snaps in real live games. They've gotten a little bit here and there, mainly in mop-up kind of things. Duffy was a four-star guy, I believe, out of Southern California. And so, you know, he's looked upon highly, and we'll see what they can do. And that's where I think Saturday will be the first test where we get to see, you know, what do they have on the ball? What's their accuracy like? And then how do they perform in this tempo style of offense? So, but at this point, I would say the two inside guys are Duffy, the transfer, and O'Neill, the incoming freshman.
And he's the kid that had been at Colorado or committed to Colorado.
Committed to Colorado,
right, and came over here. Yeah, all right.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like the Aztecs are certainly on the up and up. We're all looking forward to this spring game. Kirk, we'll be talking more often here as we get a little closer to football season and as we get into the summer. Certainly appreciate your time, brother.
All right, and I'll listen to you guys get back at it.
Fair enough. Kirk Kinney.
Thanks, Kirk.
San Diego Union Tribune. When is the spring game? I should have asked him that, huh?
The actual spring game? I know that they have their... What is it called? I called it the wrong thing earlier. It's not the spring showcase. What is it, Chris?
It used to be like the red and black game or something like that.
Well, I was reading the press release here, and now, of course, I've navigated away from that page, so I don't have it in front of me. But I think this is all part of what's happening this weekend.
Okay, so it's this weekend.
Yeah. Go on out Saturday. See what they got.
It's free, so you don't have to worry about the execution part on the field. You won't. Money won't be going to any of that part. So
it says
take a look
here that boy, I know it said it here. Come on.
I'm not quite at that
could
age
have asked
yet.
Kirk
so.
Too.
I
mean,
we could have asked Kirk.
Talk amongst yourselves as Kirk said.
Oh, okay, all right.
What were we talking about before?
Well, the money and everything.
Yeah, go ahead.
I do understand people who think, you know, I'm paying for their salaries because
fine.
Somehow
let's concede that
the
point.
Money okay. And that's why I feel like people are a little bit more angry when a player who makes a lot of money doesn't perform because it feels like that money is not going towards good and the ticket prices are rising at the same time. So it's like we're not getting a better product.
Let's keep it a buck here. I mean, let's keep it
like $100?
No, let's keep it $100.
Oh,
right?
$100.
If the ticket prices haven't been raised, do you think we would still be getting the same complaint about Xander Bogaerts not producing?
Oh, yes, yes, absolutely. I was specifically talking about the person who said, yes, it is coming out of my salary.
But, okay, fine. I'll concede that point. It's coming out of your salary.
Actually, someone on the chat makes a really great point.
Give it to us.
We live in San Diego. Everything is expensive.
Touché. I just, you know, the idea that I'm paying this amount of money, so my expectation... with a human being,
he said he never makes an out.
That he's going to not struggle is just It's silly.
It's kind of like, to me,
when
like
you go out, you spend your money on a car, right?
I was going to say movie. Like, if I go to a movie, I pay my money for the movie.
Okay.
I wasn't, I didn't
Great
like
example.
The movie. I hated the movie. It was a terrible movie. I'm not asking for my money back. I'm not complaining about it. I'm just moving on with my
and
life.
Guess what? Jack Nicholson still gets his 35 mil.
<That's a good
laughs>
no
matter what.
That's a good point.
You know, at least with a, you know, you get a, you say you buy a car and it turns out to be a lemon. You can go get a new car because, you know, there's writing in, there's nothing in there, the contract that says, hey, if you somehow don't reach your level of performance, we have to then, you know, refund.
Take you
our,
back.
Yeah. So I just, it's a exercise that
we'll always practice.
Apparently,
spring game, according to JMac, April 20th at 1 p.m.
Saturday.
The Aztecs. Yes, 1
p.m.
Saturday.
That's what we're talking about.
I know, I think that's what
But they're
he was
calling
asking.
It the Aztec Fast Showcase.
There
okay,
you go.
That's the word I was looking for.
Saturday, Aztec Fast Showcase.
At 1 p.m., and it's all part of San Diego State's Red and Black Weekend.
We are indeed through our number one daily gambit on the other side. More Gwen and Chris.